Good morning and welcome in once again to Mornings for the Master, heard right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your Thursday host. I want to thank you for joining me here on Mornings for the Master, where each weekday you can get your day moving in the right direction from God's Word. You have a different host each day. I'll be with you on Thursdays. And at this time, we are today going to complete a two-week examination of the book of Philemon. Last week, we examined verses 1 through 14, and today we'll be picking up in verse 15. Now, again, this book is a private letter from Paul to Philemon, generally thought to be written around 62 AD or so in that neighborhood, written about the same time as the letters to the Colossians and the Ephesians and the Philippians. These letters were written while Paul was a prisoner at Rome. And so this letter is a commendation of a slave of Philemon named Onesimus. He had run away from Philemon and on account of some offense he had committed, but while he was in Rome, he encountered Paul and gave obedience to the gospel of Christ. And because of that, and now his desire to do right, he desires to return to his master. And so now Paul began this letter with greetings. Again, he was a prisoner in Rome at the time of this writing. Now we note that Paul didn't identify himself as an apostle in this letter, but Philemon would have well known that, being a friend of Paul's, and would know the authority in which Paul carried as an apostle. We find that Timothy also sent greetings to him. And Paul mentions several of the church there with Philemon. There was Apphia, who was possibly the wife of Philemon. There is Archippus, whom Paul described as a fellow soldier, and he was one who many think was possibly a son of Philemon, but again, that is speculation, and he says the church in your house. So a congregation of the Lord's church met in the home of Philemon. We do not know how many others there were, if any, besides these few. Paul desired for God's grace to be upon the saints, and he desired peace for the brethren. He pointed out that Philemon was someone of great help to the cause of Christ by the way he lived daily. Paul would mention in verse 4 that he prayed regularly for Philemon, and what a blessing that would be for Philemon to have the Apostle Paul praying for him. We know the prayer of the righteous availeth much, according to James. And so we see in verse 5, Paul's gratitude toward Philemon. Paul was well aware of the love and kindness that Philemon had shown to others, and he fully expected Philemon, even in a difficult situation as this regarding Onesimus, that he would deal with him with kindness and love. And so Philemon was one who had obviously demonstrated his faith by his works. Philemon was a man living in the manner of the Scriptures. If Philemon was not a man living this way, the Holy Spirit would not have moved Paul to write this if it were not the case. And so, and we find that Paul writes of the great joy that he and other acquaintances of Philemon feel when they see the Christian kindness and love shown by Philemon to others there, if you note verse 7. Philemon, his actions would bring refreshment to the heart of the saints. Paul calls him his brother. And so in verse 8, Paul began his intercession for Onesimus. In verse 9, Paul pointed out that he would not order Philemon to take back Onesimus. He wanted Philemon to do it of his own will. And so, Paul pleads to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, whom he regards as a son in the faith. As Paul writes this, he calls himself Paul the Aged. The time and the years of suffering and labor were taking a toll on Paul. His end was drawing near. He pleads to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus because of his help to him as a prisoner. Paul was unjustly being held as a prisoner for simply spreading the gospel. And so Paul would make this plea to Philemon. And he sends Onesimus on his way back to Philemon. Paul readily admitted that Onesimus had not been profitable to Philemon in times past, but points out that he is now profitable to both Philemon and Paul. And remember that Paul, as an apostle, could have kept Onesimus with him, and he would have been a great help to Paul, but he wanted to do what was right. But he could have just sent the letter by Tychicus and kept him with him, and old Philemon would have had no choice but to keep him. And so, we come to where we left off last week. Now, I would remind you, if you missed last week's program, you can go to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website and pull up last week's program there under Mornings for the Master. But anyway, let's go back, and now we'll read through our text, and then we'll pick up with verse 15, but we'll read that again to refresh our memories from last week. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the saints, toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So now let's look at verses 15 and 16. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul alludes to the fact that the departure of Onesimus for a period of time might have been providence at work. God may have allowed such to happen to allow these two good hearts to spend eternity together. They may have previously been on course to have one or both lose their souls over their relationship. Onesimus left as a runaway slave, and because of events that took place afterward, becomes a brother for eternity to Philemon. Paul was a very smart man, both orally and with his pen. From the common ground found in the letter to wayfaring brethren, to the clever writing here. Now note, he did not describe him as a runaway or an escaped slave, but merely that he had just departed for a little bit. Now, when one becomes a Christian, part of that is, of course, repentance. And repentance is to change, and it is also to correct wrongs wherever we can. Onesimus was wrong when he left Philemon. But Onesimus, as a Christian now, must go back and deal with whatever the consequence might be. This happens at times with individuals that may, even today, have legal trouble, maybe because of things and acts they had committed before coming to Christ. One may have a warrant out for his arrest, or may not. But when one becomes a Christian, they must right the wrong. Indeed, they must go back, even if it was to cost them their liberty, for it is the right thing to do. But Philemon, as a Christian, must also receive him as a brother in Christ, meaning he would do what is right. These two men were brothers, yet their relationship was master-slave. Brother Burton Kaufman noted, he said that any person obeying the gospel of Christ becomes the brother beloved of every other Christian, to whom all the rights, honors, privileges, and love of Christian fellowship accrue as a right derived from their being in the Lord. This pertained to the relationship between Paul and Onesimus. but even more so to the relationship between Philemon and Onesimus. Paul might not have direct contact in the future with Onesimus and Philemon, but Philemon and Onesimus would be in service to Christ together until death. Now let's go to verses 17 and 18 as Paul continues to encourage obedience on the part of Philemon. Verse 17. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. The word partner here denotes that they were companions or partakers, having something in common. They were spiritual partners. If Philemon considered Paul a spiritual partner, then he would receive Onesimus the same way he would receive Paul. Notice Luke chapter 5 and verse 10 about these partners. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 23, if anyone inquires about Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker concerning you. Or if our brethren are inquired about, they are messengers of the churches, the glory of Christ. Look at the attitude and the love of the Apostle Paul displayed in verse 18. He tells Philemon about Onesimus, if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. He says that if Onesimus' departure had caused Philemon in any way and that he should charge that debt to Paul, Onesimus might have caused a loss of income, possibly, as a result of his departure from Philemon. Though I doubt that Onesimus was going to charge the Apostle Paul whatever loss he may have suffered. We go to verse 19. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay. Not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Here, the late Brother Roy Deaver wrote, he said, Paul gave a gentle, yet pointed reminder that Philemon himself owed himself to Paul. It might have been Paul who converted Philemon, probably while Paul was working at Ephesus. Now, Paul had said in the previous verse that he would pay any debt owed by Onesimus. But he gently reminds Philemon that he owed Paul. What about the debt of gratitude that we owe those who bring us along in our spiritual walk? I think of three individuals that I owe much to. My wife, Annette, for she guided me, encouraged me, and patiently waited on me as I moved toward giving obedience to the gospel. Without her encouragement and her patience, I likely would not be a part of the Lord's body this day. And there were mentors. Indeed, in my early days in the church, Brother Jack Paul was a mentor to me, an early preacher that we were able to hear on the regular basis. And he took an interest in me. He taught me a zeal and love for the gospel. And I'll forever be in his debt. I think then as time moved on and I encountered Brother David Baker, who mentored and helped to ground me, to help solidify my faith and encourage me to be more than just a pew filler. And so I will always have a debt of gratitude, especially to these three. And most of you can think of those who you have that debt of gratitude also. And we should always look for a way to repay the debt of gratitude to those who have helped us to grow. Many today look for ways to avoid the payment of their spiritual and physical debts. Indeed, most so-called religions today pay little attention to self-sacrifice. They pay little attention to things such as physical debts, bankruptcies, and the like. But a Christian will work to pay their debts to the maximum extent. Now, let's note verses 20 through 22 as Paul continues his encouragement to Philemon. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord, having confidence in your obedience. I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Now let's hone in on verse 20. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Paul desires to see Philemon do as he should. And it would bring great joy to the spirit of the aging Apostle Paul. Paul was obviously very uneasy, and he was anxious, as evidenced by the tone of this letter. But Philemon now has the opportunity to give him a refreshing rest from his anxiety about the matter of Onesimus. In verse 21, then, Paul states confidence here in Philemon. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Paul knew from past experience that Philemon was a Christian who would go a step beyond what is required. And indeed, Paul believed that Philemon would do so now just as well. We need to examine ourselves for a moment and ask ourselves the question, am I a Philemon? Are you someone that can be counted on in various matters, especially those of the faith? Think about some of those people that we can count on to go a step beyond. I think of another one of my dear mentors, Brother Dalton Graves, and his counsel and advice that went beyond what was required to help me in some difficult days. I think of some of those hard-working deacons and the hours and hours they spend to make things better for everyone else. Those that teach the Bible classes. Those that give up their nights or their days to do benevolent deeds. Perhaps the widow lady, who may have many health issues and live in constant physical pain, but yet constantly checks on others, that writes the cards to them. These are the people that make our walk as a Christian so much more enjoyable. It is highly possible that the going beyond in the case of Philemon might be the setting free of Onesimus to return to Paul to minister to him and to aid him, though that is certainly just speculation. But do we have the confidence in each other that we should? Can you feel toward other saints like Paul did toward Philemon? Verse 22 says, "But meanwhile also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you." Paul had confidence that Philemon's prayers for his release would be granted. Again, as James 5:16 points out, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man like Philemon would avail much. Paul was so convinced that he would be released that he told Philemon to go ahead and fix him a guest room. Now, friends, that is confidence in the power of prayer. Paul's release would include not only visiting Philemon, but also the Philippians. Notice Philippians 2, beginning in verse 19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Peter had a miraculous release from prison because of the power of prayer that we read about in Acts chapter 12. We certainly need to believe in the power of prayer like Paul did. Consider James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Still in James now, note chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. And also, consider 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Again, Brother Roy Deaver wrote, he said, by studying Paul's many references to his prayers, we can obtain a detailed picture of Paul's prayer life. If Paul needed the prayers of others, how much more do we need the prayers of others ourselves? How truly thankful so many people must have been to know that they were included in Paul's prayers. How wonderful it is today to know that faithful Christians are constantly praying on our behalf. And then in verses 23 through 25, we have Paul's closing salutations. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And so Paul closes his letter. Now again, let's note and hone in on verse 23. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you. So Epaphras also sends his greetings to Philemon from prison with Paul. Epaphras would be another of the unsung heroes of the faith that we know little of. Epaphras is certainly one of those. But look at what we do know. For Epaphras was one who brought Paul news of the church in Colossae in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 7. There Paul said, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Epaphras was imprisoned with Paul for the gospel of Christ. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea, and those who are in Hierapolis. We see there that he was a man of prayer. Epaphras was one who prayed without ceasing. Paul said that Epaphras, there in verse 23 in our text, is in Christ Jesus. He is a servant of Christ. Could you give anyone a higher compliment? He and Paul were praying on behalf of the Colossians. In Colossians 4:13, there we saw his love for the Colossians, the Laodiceans, and those in Hierapolis. Oh, how much we could stand a few more Epaphrases today. Now, verse 24, as Paul continues these farewell greetings, he said, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. It's important to note that he mentioned Mark. Mark obviously had regained the confidence of Paul after the incident with Barnabas and Silas and Paul in Acts chapter 15. Let's go there and now note verses 36 through 40. Then, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they are doing. Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commanded by the brethren to the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So Mark and his relationship with Paul had come a long way since that day. Now Aristarchus, he is mentioned several other times in the inspired word as a close associate of Paul. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 4, there it says, and Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia, also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. So there we see him as a close associate of Paul. And in Acts chapter 27 and verse 2, we encounter Aristarchus again. So entering a ship of Adramyttium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. We find him also there in Acts in chapter 19 and verse 29. So the whole city was filled with confusion and rushed into the theater with one accord, having seized Gaius and Aristarchus, Macedonians, Paul's traveling companion. And also, we find in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And then, interestingly, we see the mention of Demas. Demas, an unfortunate man who would later leave the church because of his love of the things of the world. Notice a couple of instances where we see him. Notice how he is favorably mentioned in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. But then look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. And at some point between that and the writing of the second letter to Timothy, Demas went back to the world. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crassians for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. And then he also mentioned Luke, the beloved physician, sent greetings also. Luke was a first-hand witness to so many of the things of the gospel and the work of the apostles. He would pen the gospel of Luke, and he would pen the Acts of the apostles from as a result of his first-hand knowledge. And then finally, we come to verse 25. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. Paul's great desire was for the blessings of Christ to be upon Philemon and the church that met in his home. So let's notice now some of the things that we need to take away from the book of Philemon. One is that all men are created equal. Notice in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 8, but you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Philemon and Onesimus had a master-slave relationship, but they became brothers. The teachings of Jesus and the apostles would move good men to end the practice of slavery in time. For this very reason, because all men are equal, how can a man hold another against his will and be living in accordance with the teachings of Christ? Another thing we can learn is that God can use anyone who is strong and of good courage. Even a runaway slave named Onesimus in the great city of Rome. If he can use Onesimus, he can also use you. Another thing we see is the great Apostle Paul befriended a lowly slave. We must care about all souls just as Paul did. For as Peter said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, and we must not be either. We also learn that mature Christians must develop a spirit of forgiveness, a spirit of reconciliation with those who have been at issue with us. And brethren, as we see in the case of Onesimus, who desired to go back to Philemon at great risk of his own personal health and safety to right a wrong, we must be willing to make a wrong right and clear and clean out our moral and physical debts. And lastly, but certainly not least, this book should help us to understand the power of prayer. What a joy it has been these past 2 weeks to study Paul's letter to Philemon. Let's each of us take and apply the lessons of this powerful little book, and we will all be so much more the better if we do. I hope you've enjoyed our study of Philemon. I certainly have, and I have been encouraged by your presence today. I hope that if the Lord wills, I'll see you again next week at this same time for the Thursday edition of Mornings for the Master right here on the Gospel Radio Network. And we will begin a new study next week, but I'm not going to tell you what it's going to be. You'll just have to tune in to find out. I look forward to seeing you. Remember, this program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, and that it will be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. I hope that you'll tune in tomorrow for the Friday edition of Mornings for the Master with your host, Brother Chip Horton. Definitely one of my favorite gospel preachers, and you won't want to miss it. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, and have a great day.